conducive for growth. And so tonight, I'm going to talk to you about that next step. Because once you have set the right environment and you've planted the seeds of the Word of God in your life, now you have to start adding those outside things in that you need to expedite growth. And any gardener will tell you that you, at this point, once you've planted the seed, there are certain things that you actually need to add in. It is time and patience and endurance and love and even water and nutrients. There are outside things around you that you have to take and put into the ground to help expedite that creative environment in which you will now grow. And for you as a believer, the thing that you need to add from the outside in that's the next step of growth is relationships. And for some of us in here, that's a touchy subject because relationships aren't necessarily your thing. But the truth of the matter is that we all do relationship in some form or another. And God designed us, more importantly, for relationship. In fact, we were made for relationship from relationship. When God had us in mind, as He was designing us, the Word of God tells us that He looked to Himself in order to make the image of mankind. And if we look at the person of God and we look at what we call the Godhead or the Trinity, God is a communal, relational being. He has three parts to Him, and each personality does something different in your life as you interact with them. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all three of them reside together to be Lord over your life. And each of them are responsible for their own part, but they do it all perfectly in oneness, perfectly in community together. And that model is how God designed you. You're made in that image. So when you're born again, and the Bible tells us that God infused Himself into you, what He's really saying is that He designed you in mind with relationship, and then when you received Jesus Christ, that community came to live inside of you. So there will always be a hunger inside of you for relationship because you were designed to be relational as your Maker is relational. That is the nature of who we are called to be as we're growing in relationship with God. In fact, the Bible says it this way in Romans 8. In verse 10, it says, "And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you now." And now here's the Godhead. "And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit that is living inside of you." So we see it all tie perfectly together. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit come to reside in you. And as they transform you into a new creation in His likeness, in His image, you become the same relational being He is. And growing up in God means that you have to learn to grow up inside of relationship. And being a relational person, God designed you to do relationship in two ways: vertically and horizontally. Vertically and horizontally. Vertically, you do relationship with God, the God that lives inside of you, accesses the God that still resides in heaven and has control over all things and has perfect plans and perfect wills for your life. And it goes like this, back and forth. You do relationship with him and he does relationship with you. And it goes back and forth. You give up to him and he gives back to you. There's this vertical stream of your spirit man accessing heaven and pulling relationship down, and it's your right to have vertical access point at any time you want with God. But there's this other side to the way that he designed you to do relationship, and it's horizontally. And this is the part that we all struggle with, back and forth. I have to give out to you, and you have to give back to me. I would rather just do this for a while. Because a lot of us don't want the drama that comes with this. We would just like the peace that comes with this. You know? It's a lot more difficult when you have to deal with other people and their stuff interacting with your stuff, which is generally a catalyst for a little bit of chaos. But God designed you that way. You can't just do the vertical because it's not complete without the horizontal. There's a reason why we're designed to grow inside of relationship, not just with God, but with other people. And it's important that because we're designed and grow in relationship, that we not only identify the types of relationship that are present in our life, but we also determine to what extent those relationships are designed to help us grow. And there's many different kinds. There are acquaintances. And these are people in passing. They pass through your life. You may see them once. You may see them more than once. You may have an opportunity to plant a seed, but there's no strong tie in that relationship. It's just people in passing. And then you have your work friends. And you all know what I'm talking about. These are people you don't really hang out with outside of work, but when you see them at work, you are all in one accord because you're all dealing with the same stuff. These are people in pursuit. You're all in pursuit of the goal of why you're there, which is to do your job. And then you have what I like to call your workout buddies. These are people in progress. You also have a like goal, but the goal is to make progress in some way. These are your workout buddies and your friends. You go to the gym together. You do life together, and you talk to each other, and you hold there's some level of accountability in this relationship. They're people in progress. And then there's your besties, those people that are your people in pastime. You choose to hang out with these people. You know, these are your friends that you know you can rely on. There's a higher level of accountability. There's more life done together. There's more sharing done together. And they actually have an access to your life that other people don't have. You get to choose these people. Because the next category, you don't get to choose. This is your family. These are people God puts you together with in life, and you have no choice or any say over the matter. These are people in partnership. God has partnered them together with you. And the environment of that relationship is your choice, even if the relationship is not your choice. Whether or not you have a good relationship with your family is your choice, even if they don't comply or agree or are cooperative. It's still your choice, the type of environment you have in that relationship. And then beyond family, you have marriage. These are people in passion. They've not only chosen one another, but they have fully been transformed in transparency and authenticity with one another. It's not something that just happens overnight. It usually takes, I don't know, a lifetime to peel back layer by layer by layer of the onion that is your spouse. But you choose one another. This level of relationship is people in passion who are aligned with one together, and they reflect that oneness that is in Christ. And then finally, there's this, That's your relationship that you have with God, and that's the people of promise. Because the relationship between you and God is a promising relationship, filled with blessing and opportunities and individual experiences. And it's the highest form of relationship. And inside of each one of those levels of relationship, you attach expectations. Now, expectations are often given a bad rap. We often assume that expectations are not always the best thing. Expectations are not bad unless they're not properly managed, meaning that you need to make sure that you assign or attach the proper expectations to the proper level of relationship. You got to clarify the relationship and make sure that you have the right expectations attached. Because if you see yourself as friends and he sees you as friendly, you have a problem. Because the expectations are not the same. And when expectations don't align in relationship, it's just an open opportunity for heartache. And often, it can damage the relationship. Some relationships in your life may actually be keeping you from growing. And if you really look at them, you have this expectation that they're going to go with you in a certain direction towards God, but they're not actually walking in that direction with you. And if you have relationships like that in your life, and you know and understand that you are really, truly called to grow in your relationship with God, then sometimes relationships need tie cuts. They need to fall to the wayside, and you need to move forward without them. And it may be painful, but you have to ask yourself, what is the most important thing? And the most important thing is that you grow in God and that you have relationships with the same objective. Because relationships that don't have the same objective of growing in God are only going to pull you away from God. God has ordained people and relationships in your life that are designed to help you grow. And it is your responsibility to identify those people and cling to them. A great example of this in the Bible is the relationship that we find between Naomi and Ruth. Naomi was actually Ruth's mother-in-law. She had married Naomi's son. Naomi had two sons, and unfortunately, over the course of life, Naomi's husband passed away, and her two sons passed away, leaving her with two daughters-in-law. And being a single woman, she has a choice to make, and she knows that she has to return to her own homeland. And she goes to her daughters, and she tells them, "I can't support you. It would be best for you if you return back to your own families." One daughter-in-law does that. She leaves and departs the story and goes back to her own family. But I want you to see Ruth's response when Naomi offers her the same option. It's found in Ruth 1, verse 15. She said, this is Naomi talking first. She says to Ruth, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same." But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I ever allow anything but death to separate us." And in the face of that, Naomi saw that she was determined and had nothing more to say. Ruth knew that her future lied with Naomi and Naomi's God. And because she recognized that that would be the best course of action for her life, that that would be the relationship in which she would see fruitfulness and life and godliness. She chose to leave everything else behind, everything she knew, all the comforts to which she could have returned to, and instead, she chose the relationship that would move her forward. And that is exactly what we have to do as well. In that moment where Ruth is offered a choice, she examined her relationship with Naomi and looked at a few things we have to also look at when we're examining the relationships in our lives. She had to look at that relationship and look at its place in her life. Was it a momentary relationship or a meaningful relationship? A lot of heartache occurs when we mistake momentary relationships for long-term meaningful relationships. And it's crucially important that you're able to divide the two and recognize and accept people that are there only for a moment and only for a season, and be able to identify the people you're supposed to walk through life with that are designed to feed you and your relationship and your purpose. And in that moment, Ruth looked at Naomi and said, my place is with her. That's the meaningful relationship. Then she looked at the priority. How much life do I give to this person? And you have to do the same. How much priority does this person actually need in my life? How much of my life, my time, my ability to be with my family and my kids, my life. How much of my life am I really willing to give this person? And here's the big question, are they deserving of it? Because a lot of times we make flippant relationships with flippant people who take up all of our time and they don't produce anything in our life. And those are the type of relationships we have to determine to cut off. Because the next question is hugely important. What kind of potential does this relationship have? Where will this relationship actually go? This is huge in dating relationships. Because it's easy to get caught up and being enraptured by that person and overlook asking yourself if that person actually has any potential to become husband or wife material. It's important that when you're looking and assessing these relationships, that you determine whether or not they have real potential to go anywhere. And then finally, you have to look at the purpose. What is the purpose of this relationship? What is this relationship going to produce in my life that means I have to have a connection with this person? And when Ruth looked at Naomi, she knew that she not only had the potential to grow if she stayed connected to Naomi, but it would produce a future she could actually live in. She knew going back would not produce a future she could live in. Nothing was there for her. But Naomi and the road back to Naomi's homeland, when we actually follow the story of Ruth all the way through, it not only led to a future husband, Boaz, the standard for all husbands. It not only led to the future husband of Boaz and ties to one of the wealthiest men in that city, but Ruth is a direct descendant of Jesus Christ. She, in that moment, assessed what would be best for her future, what that relationship would do in her life, and because of the choice that she made, she helped bring about a future that we all now live in. It's incredibly important to look at your relationships and determine whether or not those relationships are part of God's plan for your life. Now, I want you to hear me say this. Relationships are not optional. What relationships you form are. Because God designed us to be relational and to do relationship with other people, that means that you have what someone else lacks and they have what you lack. That means that as a church body, as a body of believers, we need each other. We need each other. You're not designed to do life apart from each other. And if you are missing something that you know you need in your relationship with God, the best course of action is to partner up with somebody that has what you lack. If you are missing a revelation of healing, then you need to partner with someone who's experienced healing. If you need a revelation of financial freedom, then you need to partner with someone who understands what it actually takes to achieve financial freedom within the context of the body, because you want that to be shaped by the principles that God designed for those relationships. You know, a great example of this is marriage. And this is something I learned very well last year, because a lot of times when you do relationships with other people, we get tripped up on focusing on what we have different and what we don't have the same. And we look at the differences as bad things. That we don't connect well together, and that friction is bad for us. That is so not true. In my own marriage, when we did our love languages test and we were trying to figure out how we connect this thing called marriage, we realized that our love languages were exactly opposite. I mean, like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, exactly opposite. My number one was his number 5. His number 1 was my number 5. And that seemed like this insurmountable conflict. But I realized after doing life together with this man that those opposites actually balance each other out very, very well. When he tends to get hot-headed and really passionate because he's a Ginty and that's how they do, I tend to be very calm and level. But when I get really emotional and panicked when something goes wrong, because I tend to be a control freak, he tends to be very rational and reasonable. We balance each other out incredibly, incredibly well. Why? Because what I lack, he has. And what he lacks, I have. And that's how God designed us to do relationship in the body. We're meant to add to and enhance one another. Why? Because we're better together. In God's kingdom, we're better together. Everything good that God has given to us, he's given to us in a community, including the Word of God. The Word of God came to us in community. It came to the people of God. It's the way that God intended us and designed us to live and to grow and develop alongside other people. Like 90% of the Bible is about relationship. It's about how you relate to God, how you relate to one another, how you relate to yourself. That's why it's so important that we recognize the power of being a people person. Now, I understand that some of you in here might be saying, Bran, I'm not a friendly. I'm not a people person. In fact, I don't want to stop and talk to people in the lobby. If there are too many people in the room, I break out in a cold sweat. I don't need people to be happy. And you know what? I hear you. Some of people actually believe that they don't really need that fellowship or that interaction. And science is behind you, because science has told us that many people have different personality types. And some people are introverts. But when we're not people persons and we're focused on growing by ourselves, we actually tend to have a negative impact on our lives. Because we silo ourselves off from truth. When we are determined to grow individually, we tend to think past, present, and future. I was, I am, and God Almighty, someday I hope I will be. It's always the glass is half empty because we don't have anyone to help us keep it in perspective. When you're all by yourself, let's be real, you get caught in your head. It's very hard to see anything rationally. And if anybody is hard on you, the person that's the hardest on you is you. So if you're growing by yourself or you're trying to grow by yourself, you get trapped in this almost but not quite there yet mentality because you don't have any perspective to see how you've actually grown, how you're actually getting better, how you're not yet arrived, but you're getting there. And you know what? People are usually the ones that point that out to you, not the person in the mirror. You need people to help you remember that you can and you will. And it's okay if you're not there yet. God didn't design you to get stuck in your own head trying to grow by yourself, running your own assessment of yourself all the time, and constantly finding yourself falling short. That's not God's best for you. And that's why he designed you to do life with other people. So if you call yourself not a people person, this is what you have to come to grips with. There are things you will never get apart from community and relationship with others because they were only designed and intended to develop and receive and understand in your life only through the avenue of other people. Let's be real. Praying is best learned with other people. It's something you develop in your private life too. But what about that moment when God says, step out and pray for someone? That's something you learn with other people. Or what if you have a question about the word of God? Like, what does this mean? Or does that mean what I think it means? What do? You go to other people. And hopefully people who know more than you do. Because God intended you to grow together with other people. And here's the thing, with other people, it's not I was, I am, I hope I will be, but it's I could, I am, and I have always been. God flips it on its head. It's not past, present, future. It's future, present, past, spun in a whole new light. Because there are three things that we actually learn from doing relationship with other people. The first is this. Relationship with other people creates anticipation. As we interact with other people and their lives and what God has done in their life, suddenly we look and we say, I could do that. I could be that. I could have that. And we look to the future and we say, we imagine a reality that's not yet present, but we believe in because we see it in their life. And then the second thing it does is that it builds expectation. It moves from I could to I am. As we engage our faith and we're empowered to claim what they have for ourselves, we manifest that reality in our own lives. And now it's not I could, it's I am. I'm not I could be healed, I am healed. I start to confess it, I start to claim it, I start to validate it. And that's the third point. Then, once we have built this expectation, then we offer validation through relationship. And then you move to past. You're like, past? Because the highest form of revelation in relationship with others is realizing that God did it in the past for right now. It's not, I could, I am. It's, I have always been. as you mature together with other believers, as that relationship causes you to grow up, you begin to see that God planned for you to be free all along. Let me give you that example. Maybe you're struggling with something that you want to be free from, and you haven't yet achieved a reality that says, I can be free. But you meet a friend in a small group, and you both talk about the same struggle that you've had. You deal with that? Well, I deal with that too. In fact, I'm still dealing with it. He goes, well, I did. I dealt with that. That was something that I dealt with all the time. But praise God, I've finally been freed from it. And you're like, you got free? I didn't even really believe anybody could get free from that. Fill in the blank. If you can do it, I could do it. And then as you walk in relationship alongside each other and you encourage one another and he talks to you about the scriptures that he stood on and he talks about how he relied on the Lord and he talks about the sacrificial process and the pain that it takes to strip it away and the challenges but the rewards that come on the back end, suddenly it's not, I could be free, but the Word of God, I've seen it in their life, so I'm going to claim it for myself. I am free. I am free. And even though I don't feel it yet, I am free. I'm going to live in that reality. And then as you walk in that confession, as you walk alongside that peer that showed you that possibility, as you encourage one another, as you start to experience freedom, then you have the highest form of revelation. I have always been intended to be free, and I'll never go back. That is the purpose of relationship. That's the purpose of relationship. God designed you to have a relationship that shares and grows, where you walk alongside one another and you grow. That's why Hebrews 10 says this in verse 23. We all know 23. Let us hold fast or tightly without wavering to the hope in which we confess or affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. But look at 24. Look at how he says this happens. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encouraging one another. Promises manifest in relationship with other people. That's the way that God designed it. And the spirit of sharing and growing in your relationship has to be a priority because God intended for relationships to be the catalyst for your life. Relationships have the tendency of bringing things up to the surface on purpose so you'll deal with them. God, as he interacts with us, brings things to your attention. And then as we interact with others, he gives you people who can walk alongside you to help you deal with them. And one of the most important growing relationships that you will ever have in your life is your relationship with your church. Because the church is God's environment where he designed you to grow in. It's a relational environment where you meet other people who are walking the same walk, who have the same beliefs, who are maybe not all perfect and all together, but that's just what you need because you're not all perfect and you're not all together. But you can align with one another and you can grow together towards a common goal. That's the church. That is the church. Pastor John said this in the Transform Life. He said, God did not save you alone. He saved you. You were saved into a community. That's why it's called the kingdom of God. Because it has many people in it. You're designed to do relationship with them. And like any good relationship, there has to be both give and take. Give and take. That means that as you receive from those relationships, you also give back to those relationships. Because any relationship where you're just receiving and you're not giving back is not a growing relationship. And that includes in the church. How do I give back to the church? You give back through exactly how God told you to give back. Through your tithe. Through your service. You give back through your time. Through your relationship with the church, you are poured into and you're given the opportunity to pour back out. And I challenge you with this. If you're only receiving and you're not giving back, it's not a growing relationship. Whether it's with one another or it's with the church, you have to remember growing relationships need both sides. But the church is the perfect place to test out your gifts and your talents. It's the perfect place to help you discover your purpose. That's why this church offers so many opportunities. It's insane for you to connect and grow and do life with other people. Because we know you need relationships to grow. And we provide them for you. And you have the opportunity to connect and invest and explore and do life with other people and discover what you're good at and what you're intended to do with your life. The church is the perfect environment in which to grow. But you have to purpose in yourself to do your part. And there are four parts that are yours alone to own. The first is connection. You have to connect. That's your choice. You have to connect and give your time and your talent and your energy, because relationship without connection is not relationship. You have to connect. Secondly, you have to have communication. When God established relationship with you, he knew he needed to communicate to you, so he gave you the word of God. In the same way, we have to use our words to build up those relationships. We have to speak life into them. We have to encourage them. We have to love on them. We have to communicate into them. Thirdly, you have to care. And this seems so simple, but real caring requires real sacrifice. If you really care about something, you will sacrifice for that thing. It is a mark of the maturity of your relationship that you'll go out of your way to care for that person. You'll go out of your way, even if it costs you time, to invest in that relationship. And then the last one is this: every relationship requires commitment. Commitment. In order for a relationship to grow and flourish, whether it's your relationship with your spouse, your family, your coworkers, your friends, or the church, you have to be all in. No holding back. 100% on board, because 50% don't work. It really doesn't. When you give your all to relationship, that's when that relationship will grow. And if you are willing to give connection and communication and care and commitment to that relationship will transform your life from the inside out. From the inside out. And I want to challenge you, if you're in here tonight and you know you need to examine your relationships, or you've been telling yourself you're not a people person and you don't really need to do this relationship thing, I challenge you with this. Lay it down before Jesus and let him show you the people you're called to do life with. Because there are people who are waiting for what you have, and you need what they have. That's the only way to grow. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Father God.